Blog Talk Radio.
What dear friendship I hail from north or south, or from me east or west. My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge my allegiance, America, the bold, for this is my country to have and to
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Verzola, and I still think this is our country, and we're not being nativists. We also welcome people who have immigrated here legally and who've embraced our values and come here to contribute, not to corrupt. So this is their country too, because they have adopted it, they have contributed, and will continue to contribute and make this a much better place, not only for Americans, but for the rest of the world. Interesting day today. A lot of birthdays on the 28th of September. We have Confucius. Chinese society is known as society. The values are Confucian values. Of course, they have Mandarin prerogatives. That's my phrase. And then Pompey, who fought with Caesar and Crassus for control of Rome before the Caesars were set up. That was Augustus after his uncle, who tried to clean up the immorality and the profligate lifestyle in Rome. Also today, for women who want to ban liquor, the Florence Willard was born today. She started the Women's Christian Temperance League. One of the great prime ministers known as the Tiger of France, George Clemenceau, was born today, and he's the guy who coined the phrase military justice is to the military what music is to marches. I'm variating the phrase. And he was one of the first to raise the issue about the railroading of Captain Alfred Dreyfus, a case, one of the worst abortions of justice in world history, and it's anti-Semitism still resonates, unfortunately, still in France today, even though they have the president, Sarkozy, who is Hungarian origin, and his grandfather was the grand rabbi of France, although he was raised a Catholic, got to keep it in the family. And, of course, he's divorced now, so I don't know what his religious state are. Of course, the French are the ultimate rationalists. They get baptized, sometimes married, and buried in the Catholic Church. And he was the prime minister during World War I, and he was one of the problems at the Paris Peace Conference where he wanted revenge against the Germans, and he hadn't forgotten. He lived through the Franco-Prussian War, which was a disaster for France. And this is one of the origins of the persecution and the illegal prosecution of Captain Alfred Dreyfus. In fact, descendant of Dreyfus, Richard Dreyfus, is from Evanston, Illinois, a famous actor. He did a film on one of the nine films on the Alfred Dreyfus case. That's the only case in military history and in film history where there are more films about this one incident, this one historical event, than any other related. Excuse me. Sort of the bloody cold. And then the guy who was responsible for the modern Olympics in America, and was also a great art collector, if you ever come to San Francisco, George Christopher, George the Great, the greatest mayor of San Francisco, businessman, civic statesman, legal immigrant, came here when he was a baby. He was a diplomat, did diplomatic missions for Eisenhower, and we probably had more prime ministers, presidents, queens, kings, princesses come to San Francisco than at any other time in our history, because George Christopher had this great reputation. Go to the latest on YouTube, Amicus Veritas, and we have 3 episodes on George Christopher. There will be more, like how he got the persuaded the New York Giants to move to San Francisco instead of down there in L.A. Also in media, and this is interesting, William Paley was born today. He made his fortune in cigars. He was from Chicago. He was originally a Jewish name, Palebsky, and he married Babe, I forgot her maiden name, but he was the guy that started CBS Radio and then built it into CBS TV. They had some great correspondents. Edward R. Murrow, they had, I forget some of the names. Charles Collingwood had a great mellifluous voice. Walter Cronkite had some controversy in his later life. But they were actually the sterling, they were the model to follow. And ABC, and of course NBC came along later. NBC was started by David Sarnoff, who worked with Marconi. And Marconi became famous because, I think Sarnoff became famous because he was the, received the first SOSs from the Titanic. And then he started the National Broadcasting Company. Excuse me. So these are the titans of the airwaves, or were. Of course, the internet and cable TV and satellite TV has changed so many things. And also, Ed Sullivan was born today. Remember the Sunday Ed Sullivan Show and all the people that he introduced, especially the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, a lot of show business, rock and roll stars, singers, got their start on the Sunday Ed Sullivan Show. He was born today. One of the great boxers of all time, a gentleman. He served, unfortunately. He had no choice. He was a paratrooper in the Wehrmacht. He fought Joe Louis. Joe Louis won the first one, and then the second one, Max Schmeling, came back. Great boxer, great gentleman. Later started, got the Coca-Cola franchise, and when Joe Louis was bankrupt and impoverished, a lot of his money had been ripped off, Max Schmeling helped him, and he had the Coca-Cola franchise for West Germany. And then we have today Tom Harmon, a great football player and sportscaster. His son, Harmon Jr., plays the lead role in the show NCIS, Navy Criminal Investigative Service, which is connected to the Stephen Neri case and several other cases, which will come up very soon, because we're doing expanded information we've got now on these cases of where military personnel are being railroaded by corrupt local civil authority. We got the Norfolk Four in Virginia, 4 sailors railroaded into Virginia State Prison. We had Tim Masters in Colorado, false evidence. He was railroaded for 15 years. He just settled for, I think, $5 million from the state of Colorado. There, I think there's an investigation by the state government on these corrupt prosecutors who are now judges. Then we have the ongoing Steve Neri case. Another, it's going into 16 years, where he was lured, drugged, raped, and railroaded by the corrupt district attorney here in San Francisco and these corrupt judges, among the most corrupt in the country. So, but NCIS was involved in the documents. Some of them will be published since we now have the go-ahead. And then, let's see, who else today? We have Marcello Mastroianni. Remember the 60s film and the term La Dolce Vita? And I think Anita Ekberg was in it, and she was famous for her superstructure and the wading in the pool. And let's see, who else do we have today? We have, and Brigitte Bardot, another great actress, French actress. And then among the deaths, Harpo Marx died today. And then one of the strangest deaths in the papacy, Pope John Paul I, he was going to investigate the Vatican Bank, and there's an allegation that he died or was poisoned within, he only lasted 33 days. Then we got John Paul II, the Polish Pope, who was around a little too long. He was getting senile, but that's the way he usually is. Then the guy who invented the Hubble telescope, he died today. And then one of the most corrupt dictators in Asia and was a freedom fighter during World War II, and family was part Chinese, and I know some people who are distantly related to Ferdinand Marcos. He died today. So not missed, I should say. And then I used to call him William the Bastard. In 1066, William the Conqueror came over from France and landed in England and went after, met Harold at Hastings and defeated him, and that started the Plantagenets, which lasted through the Tudors, I think, of the English royal houses. And then this is interesting because this fight between about states' rights and versus the federal government's claims and prerogatives. In 1789, I think I got the date right, Congress sent the Constitution to the 13 states then for their approval. So there seems to be this relationship that the states do have the right to, exercise their prerogatives and what they see are states' rights when it comes to federal encroachment or what is perceived to be federal encroachment on their rights. And then in 1850, flogging was abolished in the U.S. Navy. Now, it lasted much longer in the British Navy, and then I guess the other navies of the world, the Spanish, the French, the Germans, we don't know what went on. And then the Japanese didn't have a navy then. It's only till the late 1800s, just before 1905, when we had the Russo-Japanese War. We will have something special on that and an unusual U.S. Supreme Court case that's connected to that war. And then in 1922, Mussolini marched on Rome and took over. Mussolini was not a lawyer, this is interesting. He was a school teacher, or was supposed to be a teacher. So, and then he lasted till 1944 and was captured by the partisans. And he was the first one, interesting. Mussolini's under, was a Marshal Graziani, was the first one to introduce tanks in the desert, as, although they were fighting against Ethiopian tribesmen on horseback. It wasn't Rommel, like a lot of people think, or General Bernard Montgomery, or Field Marshal Montgomery. It was Mussolini and his Field Marshal, Marshal Graziani. And you can see this in the movie with Anthony Quinn playing the native who fought against the Italians who were invading North Africa, which they claimed from the Roman times. Now, one of the big issues that I think we need to look at, everybody needs to look at, we keep hearing about these polls. And, the question I've asked, because I've done this work in market research, one of my very varied background, and these are the questions people should ask, because you hear about, people are swinging one way or another on an issue or for a candidate, and I think that has a subconscious persuasion for some people because they want to be associated or want to think they were able to pick a winner when it comes to elections. However, these are unanswered questions, and I think they're fair for a lot of these polls, especially the one out here called the Field Poll, which claims to be nonpartisan, but we find out that they are funded in part or were by the Wellness Foundation, a controversial left-wing so-called health organization, and it needs more scrutiny and examination by the public and more publicizing of who they are, where they come from, where they get their money, and what are they about. So these are the questions that I keep raising, and I've asked the field poll, but they never responded, so it shows something's wrong in my view over there, their kiting stuff. So these are the questions that I think everybody should ask. Who pays for the polls? Were you ever called by on the telephone, or were you polled in the street by someone? And did you ever ask, and I always did when I was called, I wasn't called that often, first of all, who's paying for this poll, and what are the extent of the questions? And I never, I always vary my answers on the questions because I can see how they are skewered and rigged. I mean, I've done this work, so I know. And the other question is, how much do these polls cost? Who is the person or the organization that's paying for these polls? How much do they pay? And there's an allegation about the field poll in particular that for a couple $100,000, they'll find the result that you're looking for, that the buyer is looking for. So there's the question, can polls be bought by people willing to pay for the polling? The other question is, who decides who to poll? Who decides what area of the country or the district or the city or the state or the county to poll? Who picks these people to be called? How do they decide that? Who verifies the results that these pollsters publish? These are questions. I mean, people today just don't have time to go back and check the work of the pollsters, and I think some of them are just inherently dishonest. The other question is, you look at the polling results, the most notorious case in U.S. history was the 1948 election involving then-President President Truman, who was challenged by Republican Tom Dewey, who was the crime-busting district attorney of New York City. And the Chicago Tribune, it's a classic picture, shows Dewey wins, and Harry Truman's holding it up, and Dewey didn't win. That was one of the biggest polling failures in U.S. history. There was another one, the Ford-Carter campaign in 1976. Carter, by the way, is very ill. He's on another book tour, and he collapsed on a plane. I guess he had diarrhea or flu or whatever. But these are some of the questions. And then the other question that's in my mind and a lot of other people who are taking a very hard look and scrutinizing the polling base. For instance, we keep hearing that about 900 people in the field poll are polled, supposedly, and where we have, this is the biggest state in the country, California is the biggest state in the country, with over 30 million people. Some of them are illegal, some of them are voting. And I think the active voting base is over 15 million. It's certainly over 10. I better check that. But, you know, and 900 people are going to decide issues? I mean, come on. You know, this is just so off the wall. Considering that we don't know, and to repeat what I earlier said and raised these questions about, who pays for the polls, who decides who to call, who verifies the call, who decides what areas of the state to poll, who decides what questions are composed, and who verifies. So the results, are these taped, which would be illegal. You know, if somebody calls you and don't tell you they're taping your answers, they got a problem. And then you can't get any answers. I mean, I've been polling other people who ask these questions, and people, especially people who've done this kind of work, I ask the questions, now, wait a minute, who's paying for this? And they won't tell you. You know, and who composed the questions? And, you know, some of these questions are definitely skewered to get a result. So I think we need to look with jaded eyes at some of these pollsters and start asking the hard questions, because it's very easy, you know, to paraphrase Joseph Stalin, and we'll get into him in elections, that he has always said, and he always promised free elections, and he was the only one running. And he promised at Yalta, he promised FDR and Churchill, I think it was Yalta, that there would be free elections in Poland once Poland was freed from the Wehrmacht and Hitler. But Stalin said, and this may be a paraphrase because there's some questions about the exact quote, but in effect he said, it's not the people who vote in a capitalist system, it's the people who do the counting of the votes. And this is what I fear is going on with the polling. And, of course, we've seen vote fraud rampant here in San Francisco. I mean, if you think Bell, California is bad, San Francisco is and has been much worse for many years. In fact, those of you who remember the Passaic, New Jersey scandal where they had a federal task force going there ranging from FBI, Secret Service, postal inspectors, special investigators, because the whole damn city was so corrupt. HUD money was used for a cat house, the four-legged cat, for the mayor, it was one of the dirtiest cities in what has always been considered a very corrupt state. But I say that San Francisco is much worse, and what David Fowler, the editor of Denial of Disaster, the book about the San Francisco earthquakes, where all the cover-ups and where General Funston dynamited blocks, coined the phrase genteel graft. Out here, it's when people, taxpayers and citizens, voters, raise the question, where's the accountability? And then the recipients who have been ripping off these poverty programs saying, oh, you don't understand, you're against poor people, you're against gays, you're against poor little animals, you're against people who have AIDS, and don't you want to house people in affordable housing, and all these what I call verbal subterfuges and diversions from answering a straight question. And they don't know what straight is. And, of course, those of you who come to San Francisco, and I'll bring this up, it's really funny, Lombard Street is known as the crookedest street in San Francisco. Well, this is a fiction. It's not. There's another street on the other side of town, and I hate to bring it up because I really don't want the residents over there to get all this traffic and all these fumes in their houses, because some people are allergic to all these gas fumes. But this is one of the fictions, when politicians who've been and political candidates have been questioned about, their views on gay marriage or homosexual marriage, gays, homosexuals, and military, and aliens who are gay being allowed to immigrate legally into the United States, they always come up with this, well, I'm straight and all that. And so we have come back with, about as straight as the intersection of Lombard and Leavenworth, which has the reputation, although undeservedly, of being the crookedest street in San Francisco. And while we're on the subject of crookedness, here's one for you. Cook County is still under investigation. I understand Cook County court system, 45 or 48 lawyers and judges so far have been successfully prosecuted by the feds. And, it's for not big money. We have a case here in San Francisco, a Steve Neri case, where the woman judge, a lesbian, got her house paid for, bought by James Hormel, and he in turn, who was dumping his lover, who he shacked up with at about 18, 19 years old, and after about 20 years decided they're splitting. And he gives them the house that he had bought from this judge who couldn't sell it. So that's documented. You know, real estate you can't lie about because it's certified documents. And Hormel's since gone on. This is James Hormel of the Hormel Meatpacking Factory packing business, one of the heirs. He's since gone on. He dumped another lover, and now he's got another Asian lover. So that's the way that goes. But we have a judge, a guy named Michael Nava, N-A-V-A, a Latino. I think he was born in the United States. Anyway, he has got a bar card. He's a lawyer, licensed, and he worked as a staff attorney in the California State Courts here in San Francisco. Well, people don't know this, but the Cognoscenti know that he writes homosexual pornography, several books. Now, the question is, he wants to be a judge on the San Francisco bench. And this is, you know, people raising questions about his qualifications to begin with because he's playing the race card. There are not enough ethnics on the bench, says he. But the real issue, we think, is whether he writes, whether the person writes heterosexual or homosexual or NAMBLA-related books or articles or any so-called artistic work. Is that appropriate conduct? Is that an appropriate background for somebody we want to put a robe on and give a gavel and be sitting on the bench and then sitting in judgment on other people? So that's the question, but I guess you could say only in San Francisco where the unofficial theme song is Anything Goes. So these are some of the issues that we need to deal with. It's a little over a month, and then, of course, Boat Fraud, as I understand, has already started. You know, I keep saying, I keep telling people, based on my own experience, that do you really expect the party in power, the Democrats, the Pelosiites, and the Reidites, to give up power? You know, you got to look at it from their point of view. If I were them, thank God I'm not, what I would do is try to reinforce my hold on Congress to get more of my party in there so we don't have this big a threat. It'll be interesting to see what happens, but here in San Francisco, among the vote fraud tactics that they pulled in one recent election, there were paper ballots which were picked up from the outlying polling stations, rural areas of the city, Hunter's Point and that, and they were supposed to be brought back downtown to City Hall to be counted. Excuse me. Well, the boxes never made it. Turns out that they suddenly surfaced floating in the San Francisco Bay. In fact, these guys were so stupid, they didn't have the good sense to put enough weight in a box to sink them to the bottom of the bay. So, and then we see ballots floating in the bay, polluting the bay. I'm surprised they weren't cited for pollution. But I'm being cynical, of course. But this is what goes on and has gone on, and we expect it to go on unless people become aware of it and, you know, stop it if it's going on in your area, because we need honest elections. We've got a generation of kids who are being turned off, and you can't blame them. So, and this is their favorite theme song. We'll be back on Friday with an hour show, and hopefully I'll have some of those tapes, and then some specials are coming up. We'll be going through our archives. We're still going through about 1,500 tapes, and there'll be more videos. Go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas. There are 100 video verites up there. There will be more. So let's close out with our favorite theme.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going
to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Fine.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
That's what Pelosi says.
We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y? I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Break your mind.
Well, we'll see you Friday and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. This is Peter Paul. Good night.